Hi, I'm Marion Pallister, Chair of Pax Christi Scotland and a Justice and Peace Commissioner, and I offer you greetings for autumn, if indeed that's the season we're headed into. One thing we do know is that each year from September the 1st, which is the World Day of Prayer for Creation, to October the 4th, the Feast of St. Francis of Assisi, the Christian community celebrates the season of creation by praying and acting together to protect our common home. I find this a very special time, as it focuses even the sceptics on the need to act, and to act now, to care for our common home, as Pope Francis has been advising since 2015 when he wrote his wonderful Laudato Si encyclical. After the past few months of erratic weather, records broken for the fiercest fires, the most ferocious floods, highest temperatures, heaviest rainfall and all the rest, I don't know how anyone can remain sceptical about the climate emergency. For me, we've not had a summer in the Northern Hemisphere, but a season of devastation. The fires in Greece, the extreme temperatures in Spain, Italy and Canada, the deaths of firefighters and evacuation of tourists. In the global north, we haven't evolved to cope with temperatures over 40 degrees by any means. Nor, of course, have we developed flippers needed in Scotland, or certainly in Argyll, where we're used to year-round rain, but not to the amount of wet stuff that we have had in the past few months and that other countries are crying out for, nor the chilly temperatures that Scotland has had bizarrely in the face of those extreme temperatures elsewhere. Miriam, the farmer in Zambia who I interviewed last month, wishes she could have some of our rain. Yet in Oban, where despite the deluge bouncing off the pavements, visitors stoically window shop in their shorts, and in some cases their short-sleeved T-shirts, just ignoring the weather. Is that what we've to do? Surely not, when people, animals, and the earth itself are suffering so badly. And of course, that season of devastation has been intersected by a season of destruction. Because what else can I call Rishi Sunak's decision to grant 100 new licenses to explore for oil and gas but destruction? Destruction of the path forward to renewable energies that will ensure our children and our children's children a future. You know, Greta Thunberg was right when, as a schoolgirl, she condemned world leaders for lying to her generation about their plans to curb the climate emergency. You'll remember that the Paris Agreement, the International Treaty on Climate Change, was adopted in 2015. Now, that's a legally binding international treaty signed by 196 countries at the UN Nations Climate Change Conference. That was when all those nations, the UK included, agreed to limit the temperature increase to 1.5 degrees centigrade above pre-industrial levels. Now, the harsh reality is that to limit global warming to 1.5 degrees centigrade, greenhouse gas emissions have to peak before 2025 at the latest and decline 43% by 2030. Basically, we're talking about tomorrow. Yet new searches for oil and gas are being authorised and carried out not only by the UK, but by the French in Africa, by China, the USA, all signatories to that treaty that could save our common home. Yes, Greta, they lied. And they also lied, or perhaps forgot the nitty-gritty of the document they signed, about developed countries taking the lead in providing financial assistance to countries that are less well-off and more vulnerable. Of course, it's going to be costly to change the way we heat or cool our homes, change the way we travel, change even what we eat. And those costs are harder for countries in the global south, which is experiencing even worse effects of climate change than we are. If you've heard me before on this subject, I know that you know that I'm going to suggest we spend less, no, spend zero on nuclear weapons and put those billions towards creating climate justice. But the G20 conference to be held in India in September is going to be another bad joke. The 9 nuclear nations, which include India, are clinging on to their nuclear weapons like toddlers clinging to security blankets. Their decisions just compound this series of destruction. Anne-Marie Trevelyan, the MP who boldly put herself forward as a new foreign secretary, insists nuclear weapons are a deterrent and that the new UK will very definitely not be signing the Treaty on the Prohibition of Nuclear Weapons. I didn't need a degree in philosophy, politics and economics to work out that this is the thinking not just of the UK government, but the governments of all the rich nations. We saw the derisory way the G7 leaders dismissed the significance of meeting in Hiroshima earlier in the year. Perhaps they need to see the film Oppenheimer, although I fear they would come away praising the man who recognised he was the author of death rather than condemning the obscene race to produce a weapon of mass destruction. Popes from John XXIII to Pope Francis have condemned the possession, threat and use of nuclear weapons. Our own Scottish bishops, as you know, have denounced weapons of mass destruction in no uncertain terms since the early 1980s. And the Archbishop of Glasgow, Archbishop William Nolan, joined with the moderator of the General Assembly of the Church of Scotland to lead a vigil at the gates of Faslane in June this year that was attended by Justice and Peace Scotland, Pax Christi Scotland, Scottish CND and many, many others. The Church's care and Archbishop Nolan's words can be found on the Justice and Peace website. Would that Rishi Sunak and the likes of Anne-Marie Trevelyan would listen. Would that they would put an end to this season of destruction by taking to heart what Pope Francis wrote in a letter to the Bishop of Hiroshima ahead of that G7 conference there. He repeated in that letter what he'd said at the Hiroshima Peace Memorial back in 2019, that the use of atomic energy for purposes of war is today, more than ever, a crime not only against the dignity of human beings, but against any possible future for our common home. He added, "The events of the past few years have made it clear that only together in fraternity and solidarity can our human family seek to heal wounds and build a just and peaceful world." The Pope referred to the effects generated by the continuing climate of fear and suspicion generated by the mere possession of nuclear weapons and exacerbated by President Putin, stressing that nuclear arms and other weapons of mass destruction represent a multiplier of risk that offers only an illusion of peace. You know, we're messing up big style. And I wonder if we all, whatever our faith, whatever our nationality, need to sit down in a quiet place and read again Ecclesiastes chapter 3. I'm sure other faiths have a similar text to go to, but for Christians, there's a comfort in remembering that for everything there is a season, a time for every activity under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to harvest, a time to be quiet and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. Surely it is time for peace, certainly to work for peace, to negotiate and not to threaten, to seek healing, not just for those countries where there is conflict, but healing for the earth itself. The theme of this year's season of creation is Let Justice and Peace Flow, another encouraging text from the Old Testament. In Amos 5:24, he says, Let justice roll on like a river, righteousness like a never-failing stream. I hope that we can come together to work for climate justice for the refugees fleeing the effect of climate change, for peace in those communities and countries where the struggle for land is affecting the most vulnerable. Let's come together to convince our politicians that justice for asylum seekers is not deportation or incarceration in hotels and cargo ships, but a warm welcome and an effort to integrate them into our society. We really do have room for those who wash up on our shores, but reinstating overseas aid could help reverse the need to migrate. I know I keep repeating this quote from South African bishop and Nobel Peace Prize winner Desmond Tutu, but it so much applies to our times, our country, our situation. He said, There comes a point where we need to stop just pulling people out of the river. We need to go upstream and find out why they're falling in. In the coming season of creation, I hope we can go upstream and see the devastation that makes people leave their homes, makes them rise up in conflict with their neighbours, and then come up with creative solutions, positive solutions to those harsh difficulties. I hope we can then work as people of God to ensure that justice and peace flow. We have to be prepared to raise our voices, to write our letters, send our emails, be frustrated by the negative responses or indeed the complete lack of responses. Because in time, our persistence will make sure that justice and peace do flow. The Paris Agreement on climate is noble. The Treaty on the Prohibition of Nuclear Weapons is noble. If the leaders we have right now can't play by the rules, we have to change their mindset or vote for new leaders. That's our responsibility, as Archbishop Nolan has pointed out in Justice and Peace Commission letters in the past. Neither the Justice and Peace Commission of the Scottish Catholic Bishops Conference nor Pax Christi Scotland, a peace organisation approved by the Scottish bishops and part of the Pax Christi International Network, is party political, but our small p politics seek to enable justice and peace to flow. The season of creation's theme this year is our theme. As I said, that season ends on October the 4th, the feast day of St Francis of Assisi. The prayer, and we often sing it as a hymn, that we attribute to St. Francis may well not have been written by him. There's apparently no evidence in his writings of such a prayer, but no one can suggest that it doesn't encapsulate all that St. Francis was about, all that inspired Pope Francis to take his name, and all that the season of creation hopes to achieve. I'm sure you all know it by heart, so do join me as we say together, Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me bring love. Where there is offence, let me bring pardon. Where there is discord, let me bring union. Where there is error, let me bring truth. Where there is doubt, let me bring faith. Where there is despair, let me bring hope. Where there is darkness, let me bring your light. Where there is sadness, let me bring joy. O Master, let me not seek as much to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that one receives, it is in self-forgetting that one finds, it is in pardoning that one is pardoned, it is in dying that one is raised to eternal life. Have a blessed season of creation, and let us bring hope, light, and joy as we work for peace and justice. Thank you so much for listening.